The Fennel Stalk. Prometheus surveyed the twin crowns of Olympus towering above him. The tallest peak, Mytikos, reached nearly 10,000 podies high into the clouds. Next to it, 200 or 300 or so feet lower, but much harder to climb, reared the rocky face of Stefani. To the west loomed the heights of Scolio. Prometheus knew that the dying rays of the evening sun would shield that climb, the toughest of all, from the gods enthroned above, and so he began the perilous ascent, confident that he could reach the summit unseen. Prometheus had never disobeyed Zeus before, not in anything big, in games and races and wrestling matches and competitions to win the hearts of nymphs. He had freely teased and taunted his friend, but he had never defied him outright. The hierarchy of the pantheon was not something any being could disrupt without real consequences. Zeus was a beloved friend, but he was, above all, Zeus. Yet Prometheus was determined on his course of action. Much as he had always loved Zeus, he found that he loved mankind more. The excitement and resolution he felt were stronger than any fear of divine wrath. He hated to cross his friend, but when it came to a choice, there was no choice. By the time he had scaled Scolio's sheer wall, the western gates had closed upon Apollo's chariot of the sun, and the whole mountain was shrouded in darkness. Crouching low, Prometheus made his way around the jagged outcrop that crested the bowl-like amphitheatre of Megalocazineia. Looking ahead, he could see the plateau of the Muses beyond, flickering with dancing licks of light thrown by the fires of Hephaestus's forge, a stadion or so farther off. Around the other side of Olympus, the gods were supping. Prometheus could hear Apollo's lyre, Hermes fluting Syrinx, the raucous laugh of Ares, and the snarling of Artemis' hounds. Hugging the outer walls of the forge, the Titan edged along to its forecourt. He was startled as he rounded the corner to see, stretched out naked on the ground, the huge figure of Brontes, snoring by the fire. Prometheus hung back in the shadows. He knew that the Cyclopes assisted Hephaestus, but that they might sleep on the premises was more than he had bargained for. At the very mouth of the forge, he saw a narthex plant, sometimes called the laserwort or giant fennel, Ferula communis, not quite the same bulbous vegetable we use today to impart a pleasant aniseedy flavour to fish, but a near enough relation. Narthex came to mean the outer porch to a church or temple, a place for penitents to gather before admittance. The stalk itself is sometimes represented as a thyrsus, tipped with a pine cone, like the decorative finials used for curtains today. Prometheus leant forward and picked a long, vigorous specimen. Tightly packed within, there was a thick, lint-like pith. Stripping the stem of its outer leaves, Prometheus leant forward and pushed the stalk out across the forecourt, over Brontes' slumbering, mumbling form, and towards the fire. The heat emanating from the furnace was enough to cause the end of the stalk to catch at once. Prometheus pulled it back in with as much care as he could, but he could not prevent a spark from falling from its sputtering end straight down onto Brontes' torso. The skin on the Cyclops' chest sizzled and hissed, and he awoke with a roar of pain. As he looked groggily down at his chest, trying to understand where this pain was coming from and what it could mean, Prometheus hauled in the stalk and fled.